Hear now the word. Meanwhile, in a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows."
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may receive your word with joy and understanding this day. Amen. If you've lived in the real world for any length of time, I know that you've heard and perhaps even uttered the words, "Go to hell." They're not nice words. They're usually said with a very evil intention. Now, when I hear them, I'm tempted to be a little devilish and ask some questions. What do you mean by that? Why should anyone go there? How would they get there? How would they know once they've arrived there? And who are they going to find there when they get there? And by that time, or if I ask even more questions, someone's going to turn around and in my direction say that ugly phrase. I doubt that those who tell anyone to go to hell understand the true implications of the suggestion. In fact, I have very good reason to believe that the idea of hell today is pretty much a joke for both believers and non-believers. One cannot assume others believe there is such a place, or that anyone might, as Jesus suggested in the reading we just heard, that anyone has the authority to send someone there. But Christians cannot ignore the reality of hell. Jesus warns us, "Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell." It's a tough thing to teach children, isn't it? It's tough for adults to understand. In fact, I think most adults, if they were to rewind the tape of their lives, they might think of a time when they were children and they were ignored or they were bullied on the playground at school or on the bus ride home, and they might see that as some sort of hell. Literature has tried to explain the idea of hell. Dante's Inferno describes it with 7 rings and its occupants in great detail. I'd have to say that the very best book that I've ever read on this subject is C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce. In that book, Lewis depicts a gray town, never clear, never raining. The citizens settle and resettle, always trying to get farther away from their annoying neighbors, and they are excluded from heaven by their own choice, by their inability to admit that they are wrong in any way. We do have some biblical depictions of heaven and hell, of course. Streets of gold, pearly gates in heaven. I don't know how literally we should take that, but it's a vivid description for our mind's eye. On the other hand, heaven may very well have pearly gates and streets of gold, but I think it will offer something far more valuable than those two things. Hell, on the other hand, is described as a place with a lake of burning fire. I read somewhere this week that the early missionaries who went to the Eskimos to share the gospel with them told them about hell as a lake of burning fire, and the Eskimos wanted to go there. They wanted to get their hands and their feet warm. Sounded like a good place. But surely hell is that place where, by our own choice, we are consumed with self, our own desires, our own ambitions, our own pride. As believers, we know that it's a real place, as real as heaven. We just don't know where it is. It might be a trillion light years from here. It might be right around the corner in a different dimension so that we can't see it. The Bible doesn't give us details about those things, about scenery or architecture. Those are matters for conjecture. What it does warn us against is how to avoid admission to hell. And we might want to ask why a loving, all-powerful God would permit the existence of hell. Good question. One theory is that hell, of course, is the place of punishment for evil deeds, where rotten people go and get what is due them. But I prefer to think of it as a place where God ceases to contend with us. Think this through with me. If we have resisted God's will and God's way on earth throughout our earthly lives, he finally lets us have our way. So whatever or wherever hell is, it is a place where God is not, where God has let us venture to on our own. Even God cannot force his love on human beings. Jesus came, so he tells us over and over again in Scripture, that he came to establish the kingdom of God. And I know you're thinking, well, didn't he come to heal and to teach and to make friends, make disciples? Well, yes, of course, he did all those things. But primarily, he spoke of the rule of God in this world, and he ushered it in when he came, something called the kingdom of God. And it seems to me if there's a kingdom of God, there's got to be an opposite kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of God's enemy for those who do not want the rule of God in their lives. God cannot force us into his kingdom. It must be our decision. Those who reject him must congregate someplace eternally. In essence, it's the kingdom of self. That's the commodity that God's enemy deals in. He trades on self-love and pride. And he says to us, why don't you get everything that's coming to you and get it now? Take care of yourself. If you don't, nobody else will. Take what you can get, even if you have to use other people to get it. Jesus speaks about those who kill the body. The body is everything that's temporal. Our lives, our homes, our possessions, our money, all those things pass away. And we are not to worry about those who have the power to kill the body, things that are temporary. That's going to go away regardless, one of these days. Every time I eat a rich dessert or a candy bar, I say to myself, hey, that could kill you. And yes, it just might. But living life can also kill you. The body with its comforts and pleasures is temporary. The spirit, our uniqueness, our personality, is eternal. And those who can persuade us to let go and indulge our self-centeredness and our self-interest are the people Jesus says that we should fear. The really alarming truth behind the concept of heaven and hell is that everybody lives forever. We all die, and life goes on in some form. At least that's the biblical message of the New Testament. But what kind of life will it be? Jesus gives warnings and encouragements to a gathered crowd of many thousands. It was like a rock concert at Heinz Field going on this day. And Jesus both frees his listeners from fear, and he tells them to have fear. He tells them not to fear the one, those who can kill the body and after that do no more, but they should fear the one who has authority to throw you into hell. Initially, when I read that, I thought, well, Jesus isn't freeing us from fear of any kind. He's creating fear. He doesn't reduce our anxieties. He kind of tells us we should still have fear of being thrown into hell. But I read it a second time, and I thought, on a deeper level, what we fear deep down is that God might enjoy throwing us into hell, that God is patient with us for a lifetime, but at some point, God removes his patience, and God no longer will give us a second or third or fourth or fifth chance. And then it almost seems like Jesus anticipates that fear in us, that reaction, and so immediately he starts talking about sparrows. After telling them to fear the Lord because he has the power to throw them into hell, Jesus tells them, not a single sparrow is forgotten by God. And you are worth more than many sparrows. What does he mean? Well, I think he means that even though God has the authority to throw us into hell, God doesn't have the desire to do that. We are of infinite worth to God. God values us and loves us immeasurably. And so God does not desire that any of us be lost. We have fears. These are our fears. They're not given to us by anyone. We just have them, that God is going to be watching us, and when we mess up, God won't forgive what we do. But Jesus came to set the record straight and to remove that fear from our lives, to tell us that God desires our good, that God has made a way for our salvation, that we shouldn't be afraid. I think Jesus addresses our fears specifically as he reminds us of the care that God has even for, as Louise told the children so well, a little meaningless sparrow. And we are of much, much more worth than sparrows. Friends, hell is not for the bad and heaven for the good. Hell may be for the people who think they are good, and heaven for the people who know they are not. Did you catch that? Hell may be for the people who think they are good, and heaven for those of us who know that we are not. In fact, those who repent and live in forgiveness that comes by grace, anyone wanting to live under God's rule, even though we fail, even though we mess up, even though we make many mistakes, are welcome in the kingdom of God. This is a difficult concept to grasp, but Bruce Larson once told a story that portrays its meaning in very simple terms. Let me relay it to you. A little boy and his father were frolicking in the yard when a bee landed on the boy's cheek. And the boy happened to be allergic to bee stings, so that if he was stung, he could possibly die. The father was in a panic. He didn't dare intervene or yell or startle the bee or his son. And a second or two later, the bee took off, flew around, and landed on the father's arm and stung him. The father laughed about that in relief. You see, bees have just one sting, and that bee would pose no further threat to his son. Jesus has taken the sting out of death for all of us through his own life, death, and resurrection. He invites everyone to be part of his kingdom, and he says to us all, "Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Amen.